Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We heard today about Jesus getting into a boat with his disciples. They, along with other boats, intended to cross the Sea of Galilee and head to the other side. And as they were crossing, Jesus fell asleep. Now, I don't know how many of you have been on a boat at some point in your life, or a ship, or a boat that goes under ships. We had a lecture at the first service. I think I missed, did I say ship first when I should have said boat? Yeah. Boat goes on the ship and boats go under the ships is what I heard. So anyway, if you've been on a boat, maybe on a nice sunny afternoon, maybe you've had a nice lunch and there's that nice rocking motion, it's hard not to fall asleep. So imagine that as our scene, as Jesus falls asleep on this boat with his disciples. And all in all, it's not a very remarkable scene, is it? It couldn't be that interesting. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have fallen asleep. But it's remarkable, that is, until the storm arose. There blew in a strong storm that frightened the disciples. It frightened them so much that they thought that they were going to die. Now, to be honest with you, the wake from a passing boat sometimes is enough to make me a little bit nervous. Not to mention a great storm. But we're not talking about casual boaters. We're not talking about people that go out maybe once a year or once every other year to enjoy some time on a boat. We're talking about people who lived on the sea, seasoned fishermen, who knew how to handle themselves, who knew how to handle the typical storms. We've got some folks I know here at Bethel who either are or have been in the Navy. And I'm guessing you've seen a thing or two on board a ship or a boat that goes under a ship. Not on the ship, not on... Wow. One of these days I'll get it right. But you've experienced some stuff. You have seen some of the rough waves. You have, and if you haven't experienced that for yourselves, go to YouTube and you'll see some of those ships in the rough seas where they're trying to land a helicopter or something else on them. You're like, that's insane. But what would it take for you to be genuinely afraid on the sea? The disciples were overwhelmed. Their usual methods of managing their boat, their knowledge, their experience, none of it seemed to work. All of their experience, all of their know-how could not help them stay in control and alleviate their fear. Through all of this, Jesus was asleep. How on earth can anyone be asleep through some kind of a storm that's enough to make seasoned fishermen, people who knew how to handle themselves on the water, how can anyone sleep through that? And yet Jesus did. In fact, they had to go and nudge Jesus and wake him up and say, you know, there's a really bad storm going on out there. We think you should know about this. And you and I come to this story knowing a whole lot about Jesus. We know what kinds of things he can do. We know his power. We know him as the Son of God. But what did his disciples in that moment, what did they actually think Jesus could do? What was within his abilities? Now remember, we're in the fourth chapter of Mark's gospel. So we're very early in Jesus' ministry. There's so much that happens in Mark's gospel that we, you know, chronologically speaking, the disciples don't know about yet. So far in Mark's gospel, Jesus has healed some people, including cleansing lepers. He has he's done various other kinds of miracles. He's driven out demons, and he's taught in parables. So there was nothing in the disciples' experience with Jesus to make them believe that doing something about their present circumstances, that was something he could do. How did they think Jesus was going to get them out of that jam? But instead, they essentially blamed Jesus, saying, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" But see, even their question shows that there is some belief, some expectation that Jesus can do something about what's happening with this storm. But this makes me think about another storm that's recorded in the Bible where people are afraid and think that they will die. Do you know what story that is? Yep. Our friend Jonah. Our friend Jonah, you know, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. And in Nineveh, he was supposed to tell people about God's judgment upon them. Well, he decided he didn't want to do that, so he went in completely the opposite direction on board a ship. And the Bible does say ship, by the way, as opposed to a boat, or a boat that goes under the ship. And as in this story today, a great storm arose. And the people on board thought that they were surely going to die, and their understanding of God, any God, was that God was angry and that they must do something to appease this angry God, to soothe this angry God. So each person went and prayed to their own God for relief. And where was Jonah? Asleep. You see, there's some common pieces here. So they woke him up so that he too could join them and pray to his God. So in both of these stories, fear, especially fear of dying, drove them to turn and look beyond their own abilities, their own experience. You see, if they were facing just a minor storm, they could merely handle it as they'd handled any other storm, relying on their hands, their knowledge, their experience. But this storm was so completely outside of their control that they had no choice but to turn to God. Now, we all experience storms in our lives. Amen? Does any of us go looking for them? I don't think we want them. I don't think I would go to Vanessa and say, "Vanessa, guess what? I'm experiencing a terrific storm or a terrible storm in my life, and I can't imagine both of us celebrating that. Yay, Jeff, I'm glad you're experiencing a storm in your life." We don't do that. We also don't believe that Jesus says, "You know, it's time for you to have a terrible storm in your life, so guess what? I'm going to make a storm in your life." We believe that we are children of God. And that as children of God, He cares for us. My 24-year-old daughter, I want what's best for her. I would do anything I could to help her avoid the storms in her life. I would never purposely give her a storm. And the Bible reminds us that we who are sinful, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We wouldn't give our child a scorpion. We wouldn't give our child a stone instead of a piece of bread. And so the Bible reminds us that we who are sinful know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more does God our Father know how to give us good gifts? You see, so we don't believe that Jesus gives these things to us. Because some people will say, oh, you're going through one of life's storms. I'm sorry, but that's part of God's plan. This is part of God's will. And right after that, they may say something like, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I think most of you know enough about this pastor that you know that I don't like platitudes. And sometimes when people, even well-meaning people, say, oh, that storm in your life is part of God's plan, that ends up being a platitude. Why? Because it cuts conversation. If you tell me that there's some terrible thing going on in your life, and I say, well, Leonardo, that's part of God's plan, what are you going to say to that? She says, God's got bad plans. Well, we believe that God loves us and wants good things for us. So thankfully, most of the storms in our lives are relatively minor, and they upset us a little bit, but they don't really make us feel like our ship is, or our boat is, taking on water and that we are going to die. But the storms in our lives come completely unexpectedly. They come up from virtually nowhere, and we can handle most of these storms without any real difficulty. Of course, we may struggle, but we endure. But then there are those storms, like the ones that we heard today, that shake us to our core, that hurt us, that hurt those around us. God's plan? When you start looking at God's plan and put that into scenarios, is it God's plan that a loved one gets Alzheimer's? Is it God's plan or God's will? Does it please God that someone gets cancer? Is it God's plan or God's will that someone close to us dies? Why would God want these things? Some say that it's part of God's plan because then you're going to learn something or experience something. Why would a loving God want to put us through those things so that we could learn something? It doesn't make sense. But I do believe that as we endure the storms of our lives, Jesus is right in the middle of that storm with us. We may even think that he's asleep, but he's always present, always, always present. And I believe that as we go through these storms in our lives, that we can actually grow in our faith. Because just like the people in the story of Jonah, just like the disciples that were on the boat with Jesus in that great storm, when we are completely overwhelmed, when we feel out of control, afraid that our boat is sinking, we too are then forced to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond our experience and the work of our own hands, to cry out to God, to turn to God. For 4 weeks, we are focusing on the theme, preparing for growth. And when we look at the two stories, the Jonah story and the disciples with Jesus in the boat, we see that as those stories play out, that we can actually emerge from the storms when we turn to God in the midst of them. We can grow. In the Jonah story, we heard that the crew then believed in God. In the story with Jesus and the disciples were amazed, and they asked, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. The very act of turning grows faith. Martin Luther said that whatever you turn to in your time of need, that is your God. So whether in the midst of a storm in your life where you realize that you are overwhelmed, out of control, beyond what you can do, and maybe even taking on water, and when you turn to God in the midst of that, or if there is sin that's taking hold of your life, and you turn to God in the form of repentance, because that's what repentance is about, turning, your faith grows. So what are the storms in your life that are threatening to overwhelm you, perhaps threatening to sink you? Jesus speaks to those storms to still them, and then guides you and I in the ways of peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.